Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Welcome to this dance space. Well, the rhythms are indeed flowing in the space today as we journey into another episode to discuss the inner resonance of human experiences and, of course, how dance lives and breathes within those spaces. Friends, I'm delighted to be in conversation and reflection again with you today. And listen, if you have been tuning in to this FM dial this past week, then you will know that we are heading into day 6 of the CIUT Real Roots Radio Fund raising campaign. The on-air campaign is running from May 25th straight through to May 31st. And we want to thank everyone who has been calling in and sending in your messages. We appreciate you. It was 10 years ago, 10 years, that Turnout Radio first began airing on CIUT, exploring conversations with guests who have opened up with us about histories, knowledges, practices, and stories emanating within and encircling dance. And we are grateful for these conversations. And so we have much more coming up for you this season. Now, during the CIUT campaign, your love and support will be deeply appreciated to assist us in our continued programming. To share a kind donation of any amount, we invite you to visit CIUT.fm and click on the donation button, or if calling in is best for you, please call 416-946-7800 or toll free at 1-888-204-8976 to share your donation. Today, my featured guest has been known to say the following: keep evolving. Coming up on the show, educator, performer, and choreographer Emily Chung is in the house and will be with us for the full hour. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Emily Chung right after this. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Emily Chung, is an educator, performer, and choreographer who holds degrees in BFA, BED, and an MA from York University with a specialization in dance. Now, her extensive training took place across China, Hong Kong, the United States, and Canada. Renowned for her pivotal role in fostering cross-cultural connections and facilitating collaborations with international artists dedicated to traditional and modern Chinese dance in Toronto, Emily received recognition as one of the prominent figures during the 150th anniversary celebration of Canada, being honored as one of the 10 voices of Chinese Canadian women in Ontario. And she is also a board member for Dance Ontario. And over the years, Emily has created or produced over 20 full-length shows and films in dance and has championed over 220 touring performances. Currently serving as the artistic director of Little Pear Garden Dance Company in Toronto, Emily is deeply committed to preserving the essence of traditional Chinese dance, crafting contemporary expressions that pay homage to Chinese heritage. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Emily Chung. Emily, welcome to Turnout Radio.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you so much for inviting me in. It's lovely to be here.
Well, it's lovely as well to have you here. Thank you for joining me on the program. How are you doing as you come into the space today?
I'm doing excellent. I know that we have a show coming in 2 weeks, but in all spirit, I'm happy to be here in talking about dance, our passion, and life as loss of philosophy, and so on.
Oh, and there's always so much to discuss with you, let me tell you. Always so much to discuss. You know, prior to today's interview, I recall we had a great time chatting off air about many of the things that inspire your curiosity. And so again, it's great to have you here and to explore those curiosities today.
Wonderful, wonderful. And yes, and I know that I've been listening to this channel a lot. To be finally be here and talk to you is just a joy.
Oh, thank you. Well, I feel the same way about you, Emily.
Thank you.
I was sharing about curiosities, and among them, one of yours is connection. Let's talk about that. I'd like to begin there. What does the embodiment of connection feel like for you?
Connection does have a lot of layers, and on in sort of a superficial layer, it would be, you know, just human to human. When you go grocery shopping or whatnot, there is some kind of connection physically. But there's also another layer where is more psychological. And definitely when you share that same spirit with somebody through an intimate conversation, or especially to me through dance, dance is something that you don't have to say anything, and there is already a connection. And when there's a really strong connection, the audience feels it too. You know, in another way, for example, in the today technology society, where everyone's on their phone connecting to one another, and the way I see it is that there's always good and bad in every situation. And when you revisit, you know, the historical way how people, human, connect, it would be probably Stone Age. You know, we travel with, you know, stone, grinding the stone with words. And that's, you know, probably the new beginning of, you know, a way of communicating to, you know, having these little notes. And then asking the birds, you know, the pigeon to fly and get that communication over to another person. So connection, communication to me is one of the major key when I create, when I look for talented dancers who can really reach that physical, both physical and spiritual connection.
You mentioned the key, and I'd love to reflect on that a moment. When you think about connection in its purest sense, and moments when you have experienced it in its purest sense, what has that embodiment or experience embraced for you?
And that's a really good question, Nicole. I would say that you reached enlightenment in some sort of way where you truly understand each other in that same wavelength as the other person. So I would say enlightenment. I think enlightenment, that word comes from Buddhism, where, you know, in the ancient time, monks would pray and they will recite their poems or ritual poems again and again until one day they reach that enlightenment. So I would say enlightenment to me is the probably the purest form of when people connect together and they kind of understand without a single word.
In the space of that enlightenment, have there been any discoveries for you, Emily, that have emerged?
Definitely. If I talk about my childhood life, so I was raised by my grandmother when I was young, and she passed away while I was in my teens. And I remember very vividly, it could have been my dream, it could have been a nightmare, I'm not quite sure, but I remember reaching spiritually to her. And I remember vividly, she tells me to, you know, do something that makes you happy, Emily, like, you know, go with your journey, enjoy the finest moment of life, what life gives you, and your talent is creating. So go and create things that is meaningful for you. And I think that is when I got to a pivotal point where I feel that connection spiritually with my ancestors. And that was really, really, really overwhelming for me when I woke up, obviously. But now that, you know, the years has passed, I tell myself, you know, it's a calling, it's an enlightenment. She came back and she spoke to me and tell me what I need to do.
As we reflect now on your grandmother, that powerful moment of spiritual connection, I'd like to revisit your mantra, which is keep evolving. Can you speak about how those words resonate with you, and perhaps even how they may have informed or work in tandem with that experience that you shared with your grandmother?
Absolutely. So my mantra, keep evolving, really talks about the world that we're living in right now, with especially now, a lot of constantly changing, the culture, the technology, and the communication, and the way that people connect one another. And as an artist, I believe evolution is not just about abandoning the tradition. It's actually not about that. It's about allowing the tradition to be alive, to be at the present. And I gauge the world by observing its rhythm, the rhythm of how people communicate and express themselves, how the communities and culture evolve, and as well as people who are searching for, like, emotionally and socially. And when I say keep evolving despite this rapid change, I strongly believe that people still seek identity, they seek belonging, connection, the meaning, and that keep evolving means staying curious and open-minded. It means responding to the present moment. It means embracing new ideas and new perspective. It also means collaborating across culture and disciplines, and the willingness to experiment and take risk. In this case, I guess I'm speaking on behalf of the way I create. And evolution is really not about chasing the trends. What's the latest trend, you know, using AI? It's really not about, you know, chasing the trends. To me, it's about remaining authentic while continuing to grow. And in dance, I see evolution as creating a dialogue between the past and the future. And this, to me, is very important because I create a lot of work based on folklore, based on the ancient past. But to me, the challenge is, how do I reach out and combine the ancient past to, you know, the modern civilization, to the people that I'm talking to and speaking with right now? And this keep evolving means staying awake, listening, learning and finding new ways to create meaningful human connection.
Have you found an answer, Emily, to the challenge that you shared?
I would say every time I'm experimenting, because I believe that once we reach a pivotal point of saying yes, that means, you know, that means everything will fall after that. So I would like to say I am learning each day, but what I have come to believe is that changing is a good thing and embracing the past is also very, very important.
Has there been for you an arrival where you felt in the evolving that you've had to let go of anything?
That's a really good question. There are some, but not to a point where I feel, you know, I have to completely reinvent or wipe out, you know, some of the philosophy or traditions, because art itself, you know, is an abstract form. And to be able to create within the world of tradition, it really changes the narrative of, you know, what you want to tell, how you want to retell the story, in what way, in what style, in what language. So to me, I would say there's really never a time I feel I have to give up something very important that I cherish a lot. I would say luckily. but there are things, you know, very small items and issues that I need to do that because of, so, you know, different circumstances. But no, I guess I'm really lucky that way.
Thank you, Emily. Well, folks, you are tuned in to CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, sitting down with the ever so fabulous Emily Chung. We're going to take a break and be right back with more right after this. CIUT's Real Roots radio campaign is amplifying the sounds of the city and is on now, running from May 25th straight through to May 31st. Now, it was 10 years ago that Turnout Radio began our run right here on this FM dial. And we are grateful to our audience members, guests, staff, volunteers, partners, and all who have collaborated with us to keep the pulse of our programming in motion. Now, many of you will know that CIUT is a registered nonprofit, charitable organization offering open format programming that is commercial and advertisement free, delivering media that amplifies community discussions with up to 90 distinct hosts across the station. And we want to thank you for your continued support of Turnout Radio and the CIUT family. Now, if you have not had an opportunity to join our fundraising efforts, we invite you to join us now by donating any financial amount at CIUT.fm. And during the fundraising campaign, please check out the following swag. Local cartoonist, muralist, and artist Al Runt has designed original t-shirts for the campaign. And for those who have donated $125, you will receive one exclusive fundraising t-shirt, and a $200 donation receives two exclusive fundraising t-shirts, marking an opportunity to acquire a piece of CIUT history. Thank you for your kind financial contributions and for sharing the love with CIUT Radio. My guest, Emily Chung, returns after this short break. Welcome back, Emily. Echoes of the Underworld, created by you with Little Pear Garden Dance Company, is an immersive dance theater experience inspired by Chinese folklore and spiritual legends. I would like to now inquire about what the work invites us to explore about oral traditions and spiritual connection. Can you share with us?
Oh, definitely. So, what really inspired me most was the idea of folklore and the stories that were told in the past. And the stories that I have created this time for Campbell House are famous stories that many Chinese or East Asian region would have heard before. For example, the nine-tailed fox, the legend of the white snake, as well as Chinese vampires. So these folklore stories have been told year after year, and you know, centuries after centuries, and they are well known. However, the story itself, the ending, can sometimes differ depending on your grandmother who tells the story. And there's a lot of different endings. And I thought to myself, well, you know, if the story of the characters are known to a lot of people, then why don't we start creating and getting an inspiration on how the story can be tweaked so that it fits to today's society. And to me, folklore stories should not feel distant or untouchable. Growing up with these stories, they were never simply myths. They were warnings, like signs of warnings. They were memories, emotions, and reflection of human nature. I don't want audience to sit comfortably because it's an active story that we're telling. I don't want them in roles. I don't want them to just observe from afar. I want them to walk through them. I want them to feel as though they had accidentally crossed path to another realm. And in this production, the house itself becomes a living character. Each room carries its own energy and psychology. For example, a bedroom that can feel intimate and haunted. A forest that can feel seductive and dangerous. A kitchen that can transform into a place of chaos and survival. As the audience move through the space, they are also moving through emotional state. Grief, fear, temptation, longing, and transformation. So what really fascinates me about this Chinese folklore is that beneath the supernatural creatures that we have created are very human emotions. So the foxes, the nine-tailed fox that I just introduced just now, the spirit, is often about desire and identity. The ghost bride speaks to unfinished love and memory. The white snake explored devotion and sacrifice. So even though these stories are century old, the emotional truth inside them still resonates today, especially in a multicultural city like Toronto, especially where people are constantly navigating between traditions, modernity, and multiple identities. And I also wanted to challenge the audience as well with this immersive in terms of, you know, the audience dance experience. So this isn't simply choreography presented on stage. It actually blends movement, theater sound and sensory atmosphere into something more immersive and cinematic. Sometimes the audience is only inches away from the performers, which really creates vulnerability for both sides. You can hear them breathe, you can feel them sweat, you can hear their footstep, the fabric moving. So it becomes deeply, deeply, deeply connected, and all your sensories are open wide in this case. And the intimacy changes for the dancers. They're not performing outward, because when we are sitting in a theater, movement and expression needs to be made wider and more energy to reach out to the audience. But in this particular show, the immersive show, the performance needs to actually get outward to the audience, where they're actually sharing the same space with them. That requires a lot of sensitivity and adaptability and also emotional honesty. So every audience reacts very differently. We have to be prepared for that. So are the performers too. They must stay incredibly present in the moment.
Your contemporary choreography discusses emotion and memory, as you've shared. What have you discovered about the relationship that may dwell between the two?
Well, the Eastern way of dwelling in terms of the emotion, the way we portray that, and both spiritually and physically, is very important. I remember we did a conference, maybe that could have been 15 years ago, precisely talking about the aesthetics, what is Asian aesthetics versus contemporary or more Western aesthetics. And that itself is quite different, because with the Asian aesthetic, we like to portray being a little more humble. So sometimes I would have asked some of our contemporary dancers to act shy. And we often have a hard time doing that, because in contemporary world, there isn't a word of shyness in an actual movement form, other than you really do feel shy about it. So the fusion of the East and West influences appears naturally in this work. And because it reflects on my own lived experience as a Chinese Canadian artist, and the movement language may draw from Chinese dance aesthetic and folklore imagery, but the immersive structure, the theatrical pacing, the contemporary physicality are always shaped by Western performance practice in this case. And I'm actually interested in creating dialogues rather than separating the two cultures.
Did you find that there were further curiosities, additional curiosities that emerged for you personally as the work developed?
Oh, definitely. Definitely when working with various different artists from different background could also have a different outcome. I remember working with one of the artists whom she unfortunately couldn't participate in the show. And so we had to change a different artist. And once that artist is changed, and because she's also from an East Asian practice, it draws everything apart, and it's very different. So yes, I would say that my hope is that, you know, I'm creating something that is very universal, and the audience could really understand it. But the way that is being portrayed, sometimes I draw a lot of emotions from the artists themselves, and that is why each show with different artists that you see may actually you feel differently as an audience.
Yes, because there is an emergence of a different experience that pulls through.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, I'd like to revisit your share about the underworld, because prior to today's chat, we had spoken about how the underworld investigates something from another realm that continues to resonate in the present. What are your thoughts?
That's a really good question, Nicole. So I have purposely called it the underworld because that word itself offers a very dark, gloomy setting. Now, you will experience a dark, gloomy room, but at the same time, I would like to question my audience after coming out from the immersive that, you know, when we talk about demons, spirit, they made all of us quite distant from that because they are seen as something that is non-tangible. But through this experience, I actually want to revisit it and ask our audience questions as if, you know, if you weren't to be scared of these demons, I want us to feel empathy for them, because in the end of the day, these demons, they are still connected to the emotions that human does. The loss of love, the jealousy, the conflict, the anger, it still exists. So I would like to change the table and ask our audience, you know, after seeing the show, could that bring a different angle to them? Would it change their minds about spirits, spiritual and demons and, you know, and monsters? Because we often associate that as something that is quite passive.
And terrifying.
Absolutely.
Yes. I think that query can potentially provide a very intriguing interrogation when we think about what it means to look at a demon or to consider a demon, a monster, in a different way than perhaps maybe many of us have been conditioned to look at them.
That is precisely what I would like to open this question to the general audience, because there are in this world, in this very real world that we're living, there are communities, perhaps, that we have no association with. And also we draw a distance just because we did not open up. So once you open up and learn about them, perhaps this, you know, ideology that you have with that certain, say, community or group of people or, you know, anything in this world may change your mind. So this is precisely what I would like to tell, that sometimes when something is living very dark within you, if only you can open your heart and understand and investigate and interrogate, as you said, that could simply change our mindset.
I'm very intrigued about your use of the word empathy. How rare it is that I find that that word is used collectively or in collaboration with the word demon.
Yes. So changing our mindset and our point of view in understanding why a certain maybe circumstances or a certain situation turned out to be as such, if only you can find out the background and its origin and what it's been going through, it might actually change your mind of realizing, ah, this is why certain things happen this way or other things happen that way. So I think in today's, especially today, Nicole, because I find that the form of communication on social media really made us more divided as humans, as, you know, as anything, as cultures, I find that it actually made us more divided than anything else. So I really want to question that and revisit that. And empathy is something that we all have. If only we can understand, take our time to understand the situation, I think things will turn out very differently.
In that reflection, Emily, I'm wondering, with Echoes of the Underworld presenting at Campbell House Museum, can you share some thoughts behind how space speaks to or supports the work?
Campbell House Museum, first of all, it's a beautiful space, and it does definitely have its own history for many, many years. And one of the main reasons why we wanted to create that space in Campbell House is not only its architectural space. They actually invited us to be incredibly creative within the space. It also has a lot of really good elements. So I remembered, I remember once when I first went to the space, and I was trying to find a staff, and their staff room is right at the back of the house. I remember walking in, and I could feel the squeakiness of the floor. And of course, we all know that it's an old space, and it holds a lot of people in the past. But that space really speaks a lot in terms of how we can reinvent and create the world that we want to have this immersive. So this space holds five rooms. One of the rooms has a kitchen, an old style kitchen. And we actually have a piece that's called Skin, where normally it should happen in the bedroom. But for some reason, the moment I walk in, I could feel that that piece can totally, absolutely hold it there in the kitchen. And surely it did. It really did. It worked out perfectly. And obviously, you know, the flooring on that kitchen is not the best because it is bricks, but it is incredible what the atmosphere can do for the pieces that that we created. And one of another room that we have sort of refurbished from top to bottom is a forest. Of course, normally in a room you will not see any vines and trees, and we purposely made a little garden or forest within that space. And because there's a fireplace, we also changed that into a little pond with lotus flower. So, and we also, another room that we did was we made that room, it was supposed to be a dining room or a family room, and we transformed it into a bedroom. But surprisingly, after, you know, finish renovating or decorating, the piece itself sits really comfortably in that space. And there's something about it that I cannot really express, but it just feels right. And of course, I am very grateful to have our sets designer, Cindy, whom put, I think, numerous hours, hundreds of hours during January in building that world that is ready for us to go in and experience. And we also, of course, have our amazing lighting designer. In fact, he does a lot of international, multidisciplinary and immersive in the past. And he knows exactly what to do. When I told him, listen, we are not in a theater space. We're in Campbell House Museum, and lighting might be a challenge. He immediately know what to do, which is such a blessing to have. And as well as our audio person and our incredible artist.
Well, I am looking so forward to attending and having the opportunity to be in the space. And we want to remind those who are tuned in that it's taking place June 12 to 14 and June 19 to 21 at Campbell House Museum, which is located at 160 Queen Street West in Toronto. Folks, visit littlepeargarden.com for tickets and information. Emily, thank you. We are going to take a break and be right back with more of Emily Cheung right after this.
CIUT brings warmth to the day, music with soul, voices with heart, and companionship when you need it most. Help keep the fire burning. Please donate right now at CIUT.fm.
Today's history segment takes us inside of Little Pear Garden Dance Company. LPGDC, formerly Little Pear Garden Collective, develops and promotes Chinese dance in Canada via the production and presentation of performances, lectures, workshops, demonstrations, exhibitions on the local and national levels by creating an environment that supports Canadian artists practicing both Chinese traditional and contemporary artistic expressions. The company aspires to develop a distinct voice in the opera and dance ecologies and to be the premier Chinese performing arts company in Canada that features professional artists, innovative programming, stimulating workshops, and creative new works that reflect passion, honesty, integrity, and excellence. Under the leadership of current artistic director Emily Cheung, the company's vision is in building Chinese contemporary dance vocabularies through innovations and creative works that are meaningful to the Chinese Canadian diaspora. Emily also seeks to collaborate with artists from various disciplines and culturally diverse backgrounds to create work that uniquely combines the different aesthetics and contemporary sensibilities, all centered in the work of Little Pear Garden and part of today's history segment. You can learn more about LPGDC at littlepeargarden.com. Coming up after the break, we return with Emily Cheung. Emily, it has been such a pleasure to sit down and to be in conversation with you today.
Thank you, Nicole. It's lovely to be here.
Well, before you do leave us today, what sits on your heart now as you move towards your continued thoughts and curiosities surrounding evolving?
Oh, I would say enjoy every second of your life, because there's always a reason why we're here on Earth, and there's always something, there's always a meaning in life that we can bring and offer to one another.
Beautiful. Emily, thank you. Thank you for joining me on Turnout Radio again. Such a pleasure to have you here on the show.
Thank you, Nicole.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was Emily Chung sitting behind the mic with me today. If you missed the top of the interview, we invite you to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.FM, and some of your favorite podcast platforms where this episode will soon be streaming. Echoes of the Underworld is showing June 12th to the 14th and June 19th to the 21st at Campbell House Museum, located at 160 Queen Street West in Toronto. Visit littlepeargarden.com for tickets and more information. My thanks again to Emily for joining me on the show. Well, we're in the midst of CIUT's Real Roots Radio campaign that's on now and running from May 25th straight through to May 31st. And we thank you for your kind support that has been coming in. For those of you who wish to give during the campaign, donations of any financial amount are welcome. Visit CIUT.FM to donate online. And you can also call 416-946-7800 or toll free at 1-888-204-8976. Thank you again for sharing the love with Turnout Radio and CIUT. And a shout out to everyone who supports in keeping the rhythm of our program running, to our audience members, guests, volunteers, the CIUT staff, collaborators across Canada and beyond. You are a blessing. Your donations assist in supporting our continued work. Well, coming up today and just after the program, we are headed to the IG Wealth Management Walk for Alzheimer's, occurring from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. EST at Orchard Pavilion in Downsview Park in Toronto. I'm thrilled to be an impact speaker at the event and look forward to walking in partnership with all who will be there. To learn more about the Alzheimer's Society of Toronto, visit alz.to. Well, this brings us to a close of today's program. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Visit Turnout Radio at turnoutradio.com for a library of our previous interviews and resources. And of course, join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.